Wars and fightings among you, come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, for he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. May the Lord. The psalmist has said that this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And truly it is a day that we can rejoice. Despite what's going round about us, we can rejoice in the Lord. The Lord has created this day, and we can rejoice in it. All of us come here with things that we've dealt with in the last few days, things that didn't go so smoothly, difficulties, trials, tribulations, but yet we can rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that he has made. When we were sleeping last night, we were completely unaware of those things that were happening round about us, yet the Lord was with us. And the Lord has brought a new day. And we can rejoice in this new day that he has given to us. We can rejoice in this. We can rejoice that his mercies are new each and every day. We can rejoice that he provides for us. We can rejoice in him. And he asks us to rejoice in him. And so let us consider this day in rejoicing in him. You know, we have the ability and the opportunity to read and pray throughout the week. And then on a day such as this, we can rejoice that he has brought us together and that all that we've experienced in this past week, each and every one of us, unique to each one, that we can now come together. We've had our devotions, our private devotions. We've read the Bible ourselves. We've prayed to the Lord of ourselves. But now we've come together and we can pray all together. We can read his word all together, and we share in this fellowship in the Lord. And it is a great blessing that we have of him, and therefore, for that, we can rejoice in him. Rejoice in this day that the Lord has given unto us. This chapter that we read here together has some perhaps less than encouraging words here in the beginning. Then in the middle section, it speaks of steps and ways that we might receive the divine favor of the Lord. And then at the end of the chapter, it speaks of the uncertainty of life. In the middle of the chapter here, though, where it speaks of receiving God's divine favor, he speaks here a simple sentence in verse number 7 where he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submission. Submission to the Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord would have in our lives, we can rejoice in Him, and we render it all to Him. Fully sacrificing our lives, fully submitting ourselves unto Him in all things. And we always want to look to He who modeled all things well, and that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, where He modeled submission to the Father, where He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He says, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. So perhaps we can consider that blessed state of mind, that blessed aspiration, that blessed attitude of we can bring our supplications to the Lord, and we bring them to the Lord, but then we submit all things to the Lord and say, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt, as we're bringing our prayers to the Lord. And so it's written here, and throughout scriptures, of submitting ourselves to God, in full surrender, submitting ourselves to God, yielding our all to God, not keeping back any part, as we heard recently, any part of our lives where we say, no, that's off limits, but we will surrender or submit in all these other areas. But in all things, even as our Lord Jesus Christ, who we look to, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we look to Jesus, and He made His supplication. But then He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And so as we consider this chapter, chapter 4 of James, that we would consider it in the light of we're submitting all, our all, to the Lord in everything. And we have a blessed example in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. So the chapter, again, begins with some words that are perhaps less than encouraging. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Where would these wars and fightings come from, even among brethren? And he says, come they not hence, or wouldn't they come from this source, even your lusts that war in your members? Lusts are strong, evil desires. If one has strong evil desires, they cause great disruption, not only for themselves, but for those that are around about them. And so he's speaking here that when we have strong evil desires, there come wars and fightings among us. And if we go back a couple verses here before this chapter, at the end here of chapter 3, it speaks here in some of these verses, saying, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When there is a strong evil desire, when there is lust, there is confusion and every evil work, because that works about envying and strife. This is earthly wisdom. This is earthly wisdom. Puff yourself up. Make yourself strong. Make a name for yourself. Go out there and grab it. And if you have to step on others, do that. That's earthly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. And then in verse number 17 of chapter 3, it says, but conversely, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. When we rely upon, with meekness, the wisdom that is from above, our actions will be guided in a way of peace. Our actions will be guided in a way of gentleness. Our actions will be guided in a way of that is full of mercy and good fruits. And then it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So as we labor, as we go through life and we're sowing peace, the fruit that comes as of that peace that we sow is righteousness. Righteousness, the righteousness of God. And then there will be no wars and fightings among us. So we are to look for the heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. And we sang of that this morning in our opening hymn, that the God of peace, that he would be with us and that we would labor together in peace in the way that he would have for us. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And when you ask, you're receiving it not because you're asking amiss that you may consume it upon your strong evil desires, lusts. And then he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And so again, there's earthly wisdom that says, lift yourself up in pride, make a name for yourself. But then there's earthly wisdom that's peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, and good fruits. And when we yield ourselves to the wisdom that is from on high, we will be with the Lord, and he will not count us as an enemy. And we will not have friendship with the world either. And then it says here, do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Envy. Where strife and envy is, there is evil, there is confusion in every evil work. Envy. It has been the plight of mankind from the days of Cain all the way through today. Despite all the knowledge that has been gained, despite all the books that have been written, despite all human progress, envy is still something that is mankind deals with today. And again, that envy creates confusion, and it creates every evil work. When we think of Pilate, the rulers of the Jews came to him, and they want Jesus to be crucified. But yet there was one that could be released. And so Pilate asked them, who do you want to be released? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? And then it says, for he knew that for envy they delivered him. The rulers of the Jews had envy in their heart. And there was strife, and there was confusion, and there was every evil work, because the rulers of the Jews were displaying that action. And it's visible. Pilate, who didn't spend much time with them, he knew what was going on. He knew that for envy they delivered Jesus. But we're called to greater things than that of strife and envy. We're called that Jesus calls us and says that we are to deny ourselves, that we are to take up our cross, and we are to follow him. So when we deny ourselves, we have heavenly wisdom. We are exercising heavenly wisdom. We are submitting ourselves unto the Lord. When we take up our cross, we are submitting ourselves to the Lord, and we are saying, nevertheless, not as I will, not what I want, but what you want, dear Lord. And we follow the Lord. And he who was chief among sinners understood this. And he said, I die daily. I need to take up the cross, and I need to deny myself, and I need to follow the Lord, and I die daily. Likewise, when we want to submit ourselves to the Lord, we need to die daily. We need to recognize that our soul, our spirit is encased in this mortal flesh that wants to do its own thing. And these things are evil. And so we are to submit ourselves to the Lord. And he has great power, as we've prayed together. He has great power to give unto us. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. He gives us this power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. He gives us this power to overcome the carnality of our fallen nature. But it happens when we deny ourselves, when we take up the cross, when we follow the Lord, when we die daily. That's when that power comes in. And the Apostle Paul, who was chief among sinners, recognized these things. He said, I die daily. He also said to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with him. As he died upon the cross on Golgotha, I have died also. I am crucified with Christ. He says, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we live anew in him. We live anew in him. And then when we live anew in him, taking up our cross, denying ourselves and following him, dying daily and being crucified with Christ, then we come to verse number 6, where we hear some encouraging words, but he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. We receive that grace, that unmerited favor, his goodness toward us that we did not deserve. He gives it to us, and he gives it to us more abundantly. He gives more grace. That's a gift. Giving is a gift, and so he gives us more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And so there's these ways now, here in verses 6 through 10, as he speaks here, of ways that we submit ourselves to the Lord, where we are being blessed, where we have this close relationship with the Lord, where we are friends with the Lord, where we know him, we are in his word, where we are praying to him, we have this relationship with him, we see his work in our lives and in the lives of others. And so he says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In Psalms we read also that though God is high and lifted up, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. God sees the proud even when they're at a distance. And even Pilate of himself, he also could see the pride of the rulers of the Jews. He knew that for envy they delivered Jesus. But ours is to humble ourselves that we might receive his divine favor. And when we humble ourselves, God gives us that which we cherish so much in this life, and it is his grace. That is how we receive grace, is to be humble. And you know, the Spirit spoke the same to James and to Peter, where he says the same thing, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so when we think, I need some grace in my life, I need grace in my life, the first thought that should be is what's written here in James chapter 4, verse number 6. We should be thinking, I need to humble myself. I need to humble myself. I should not be proud, but I should humble myself, and then God will give me grace. And when God has given me grace, I can display grace to others likewise, recognizing we all need God's unmerited favor. And then it comes to verse number 7, where we read and focusing on submitting ourselves to God. Submitting ourselves to God in all things, yielding. I want to do this, but I'm going to yield to God. I want to do that, but I'm going to surrender that to the Lord and let him have his way with me. Whatever it is, in the small things of life, in the big things of life, that we would surrender it all to the Lord, that we would yield to the Lord. Whatever it is that he would have, again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. May God give us grace at all times that we would surrender and submit ourselves to God in all aspects. The Lord Jesus Christ has taught us that way, how to pray to the Lord, and has given unto us that model prayer. And he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God, submitting ourselves to the will of God. That's our prayer. And Jesus taught us to pray in this way. And we've prayed this way since our Sunday school days. This is the way we are to pray. That God's kingdom would come, that his ways would come, how he would have it to be, that way would come, and that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we know what the will of God is. It is that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so perhaps as we yield ourselves and submit ourselves to the Lord, that we can be sharing that truth. That God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus being our ultimate example in submission. But yet there was others who had great examples of submission. We recall how the angel came to Mary and told Mary how it was going to be, that she would become pregnant with the Son of God. And after the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to Mary, she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And so again, another beautiful example, who Mary, perhaps she's, you know, she's got other thoughts on her mind. She's engaged to Joseph. She's perhaps getting another, a new life and other things going on in her life. Yet an angel comes to her and speaks these things that are unimaginable. And her response is submission to the Lord. She submitted to the Lord and says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Beautiful examples we see in the word. In Romans, we also read, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." So again, yielding being submitting. So neither submit your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't use your faculties. Don't use your senses. Don't use the carnality of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield or submit yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We're alive from those dead works. And we live anew in the Spirit. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Again, sowing in peace. Sowing in peace. And when we sow in peace, the fruit that comes out of that sowing, of that planting, is righteousness. The righteousness of God. And so we are to submit ourselves unto God. And then he says here again, beautiful exhortations, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." When we don't feed the flesh starves and the flesh dies. When we don't feed our carnal nature, that carnal nature dies. When we are thinking of that which is written in God's word, when we are thinking upon those things that are spirit derived, when we are walking in the Spirit, we will be healthy in the Spirit, and that carnal nature dies. So we resist the devil, and he flees from us. When we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. We draw nigh to God by reading his word, that we understand what his will is for us in our lives. We draw nigh to God by humbly submitting ourselves in prayer to him, in sincerity, because God knows everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. But yet, so then when we come to him, we can know that, "God, you know all these circumstances that are going on in my life. You know the thoughts that I'm having." So we come sincerely before the Lord. We draw nigh unto him, and then we ask him that he would help us. And then we draw nigh to God when we do that which is good. When we bear good fruit in our lives, when we know that there's something good that we should do, and we do it, even as we read here in this last verse, that we ought not to commit the sin of omission, but when we know to do good, we do it. And therefore we draw nigh unto God. And then he says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Get those things out of our heart that don't glorify the Lord and would make us to be enemies of his. If we are friends of the world, we will be enemies of God. And those things which are highly esteemed, Jesus Christ says, among men, are an abomination in the sight of the Lord. So when we think of all the vanities of life, all those labels that make life seem so great, those are just vanities. And those things are highly esteemed among men. But in God's sight, they're an abomination. And we need to guard our hearts against that abomination of those things which are highly esteemed among men. And so we are to purify our hearts of these things. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. But wait a minute, didn't we speak that this is the day that the Lord has made? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are to be rejoicing in the things of the Lord. But those things which grieve the Father, those things which displease him, those things which are earthly, is earthly wisdom that drives to pride, envy, and strife, we need to be afflicted and mourn and weep of those things. And let that laughter that we boasted in, let that laughter of those things we boasted in be turned to mourning. And that joy of that envying and that strife of perhaps winning in a way that would please the flesh, that joy needs to be turned into heaviness. In verse number 16 here of chapter 4, we read, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. If we're rejoicing in our boasting, in those things which we can say, my name is ascribed to this great accomplishment. If we're boasting in those things, it's evil. That's what the Bible says. It's evil. I'm making a name for myself. That's evil. That's not of God. That's evil. And so, as these exhortations began here in verse number 6, they conclude likewise in verse number 10 by saying, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble ourselves. Maybe we need to recognize from time to time that maybe we had a good beginning. We crucified the flesh, we denied ourselves, or we're following the Lord, we're dying daily, and we're crucified with Christ, but yet Christ is living in us. And then slowly, pride starts to come back into our life. Carnality starts to come back in our life. Then we need to recognize, well, I need to humble myself. I've stepped away from the Lord. I need to humble myself. And when we humble ourselves, the Lord will pick us up. The Lord will be there. He'll recognize that, oh, here's a soul that recognized the error of his way, and he's humbled himself, and God has respect toward that. And so we are to humble ourselves. Again, humility just being so important in a godly life. When we are humble, there will be no wars and fightings, envying or strife or confusion or any evil work when we humble ourselves. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. How important that is that we would have love one toward another. Last night we sang that song, Eternal Love, I Love Thee Only. If we only love the Lord, there will be no opportunity to speak evil one of another. In the Epistle of John, he speaks of loving one another because love is of God. We are to love one another. And when we love one another, we would not speak evil one of another, brethren. Again, going back to the previous chapter where it speaks of the tongue, he's speaking of the tongue. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. With our tongue, we're praising the Lord and singing, praise ye the Lord. And then we're cursing men who are made in the image of God, who God loves, who God sent his Son to die for that individual, and we're speaking evil of them. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so again, just good exhortations that when we are submitted ourselves, when we have submitted ourselves to the Lord, there will be not room for speaking evil one of another, but we will only bless and praise the Lord and edify and encourage our brethren. And he speaks here of, if you're speaking evil of your brother and you're judging, then thou art not, let me just read here. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law. We are to do the law, but not be a judge of the law. So then if we judge law, we are the doers of the law, but a judge. And then he says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Who art thou that judgest another? And again, the Spirit was speaking to James as he was to the Apostle Paul and to the Apostle Peter in writing things. So the Spirit spoke to both James and Peter, saying that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the Spirit was speaking to James and the Apostle Paul, where they both write the same thing, saying, who art thou that judgest another? In Romans chapter 14, where Paul writes this, he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? God is able to help him. God is able to help him. But as we want grace for ourselves, we should share grace one with another. And then he speaks here at the end of life, of the uncertainty of life and how our end comes. He says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there in a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanish away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We are to yield ourselves to the Lord. We are to surrender to the Lord. We are to submit unto the Lord. And truly, we ought to labor. The Bible speaks of that clearly, that we ought to do all things as unto the Lord, that we ought to labor as unto the Lord. We are to have good fidelity in that. And so we are to labor, but then we just submit everything to the Lord and commit all things unto him and know that he will provide for us. Because Jesus promised that as he spoke there on the Sermon of the Mount and says, look at the fields, look at the birds. They're all cared for, and Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so we are to labor. We are to do what the Lord would have us to do, but then we surrender all to the Lord. And he says that, what's our life? It's even as a vapor. When we think of, another way to think of vapor would be steam. When we see steam coming out, and then so quickly it just vaporizes. There's no more steam left. It's just all blended into the atmosphere. And so, likewise for us, we've come from dust and we return to dust. When we think of the grand scale of eternity, where there's no beginning and no end, and that's where our Lord dwells, but yet we are here upon this earth, and we have this finite time that we are here upon this earth. We arrive and then we're gone. We're like that steam. We arrive and then we're gone. And so we just commit all things to the Lord and submit all things unto the Lord and know that he will provide for us and he will provide abundantly for us according to his goodness when we simply just lay all things into his care and keeping and be able to say, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It's a beautiful way to go through life. There is so much peace and so much contentment in our lives when we can just simply say, not as I would have it, but as you would have it, Lord. King Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 25, it's 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Speaking of being going into a city and buying and selling there for a year and then getting gain and being confident in these things, Solomon writes, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. There might be an aspiration, a thought that we're gonna go in town and we're gonna do business and we're gonna do well. But riches often make themselves wings and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Solomon also writes in Ecclesiastes, saying that, again, we don't know what our lives are, what's going to happen in our lives. We can think that we're going to make these plans and it's going to go according to our plans, but that's not always the case. And Solomon writes, "There is a vanity which is under the earth. There be just men who submitted themselves unto the Lord. There be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. But yet we commit ourselves to the Lord. We're submitted unto the Lord. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. Nevertheless, we submit ourselves to the Lord." I said that this is also vanity. And then further he writes, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." The Lord may bless one, and the Lord may have more challenges toward another. But we surrender it all to the Lord and commit it all to the Lord. So whatever the Lord will, if we live, we could do this or that, but it's all, we've surrendered it all to the Lord. Such a blessing we have in our lives, a rich blessing it is that we can emulate our Lord and our Savior and say, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." The psalmist writes, "Teach me to do thy will. Teach me to be submissive. Teach me to surrender my will to thy will. Teach me. I need to be taught because I have a carnal nature it's innate in me to be lifted up in pride, to have strife and envying and confusion and every evil work. That's innate to me. So teach me, Lord, to do thy will, for thou art my God. Eternal love, I love thee only." Only him. Only him. When we fulfill that greatest command of loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, it will be easy to submit unto him. And we will draw nigh unto God by reading his word, and then his word will teach us to do his will, for he is our God. So we are taught. We are taught to do the will of God in submission. Then, when we are taught of God to do his will in submission, then we come to the point where I delight to do thy will. It's my delight. I rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I get the opportunity to submit my will to his will and know that he has great plans for me. I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, thy law is within my heart. It's not just simply words on a page in a book of a Bible, but it's in my heart. I want to do this. I really want to do this, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as God will. And so we are taught. We are taught in the scriptures to surrender it all to the Lord. And then when we come to that point in life where We've been taught and we have now surrendered to the Lord, we can now delight in him. It could be our great joy to do his will. And when we do his will, we do find great joy in that. And we do delight in that. And then what happens? We're taught. We delight to do his will. Then, because of these things, we can call Jesus Christ our brother. For Jesus Christ says, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother." We can become one with Jesus Christ. We can be as he who we look to as the author and the finisher of our faith, who knelt there in Gethsemane, knowing what awaited him. He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And when we do the same, we will be with Jesus. We will know him. Our lives will be blessed. Our lives will be full. We will experience that power, the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. May he grant us grace thereto. Amen.